quickly, I want you to go with me to the book in your Bible. If you have your Bibles with me, those of you that may have one, if you don't have one, kind of peek over on your neighbor's Bible and read theirs with them. Found in Mark, the 10th chapter, and I want to start with verse 46 in the book of Mark. And it talks about, maybe some of you are familiar with the story of blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho. Now, this is in verse 46, the 10th chapter of Mark, page 1206. I'm waiting. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho, now that always amused me just a little bit. Nothing really, too much happened in Jericho. He came in and he went out. And that's all that's recorded. But look what happened. And with the disciples and a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Let me say this right here. Let me stop for just a minute. Bartimaeus heard about this miracle worker. And he was not going to be denied his miracle. It didn't matter what others thought about him. It didn't matter what others said how he should act. He had a need. And he wasn't going to be denied until that need was met. That's how you get your miracle. You're not denied until your need is met. And many charged them, I'm at verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus, look at this, when he caught the attention of Jesus, Jesus stood still. He stopped. And he turned around and he said, "Bring him to me." Now, I find this interesting. The same crowd that tried to shut Bartimaeus up got him by the arm and said, "Come on now, the master calls." Do you know what I've found in life? People are about as fickle as a pickle's squirt. One day they're this way, one day they're that way. One day they're up, next day they're down. One day they're friendly, the next day you don't better not talk to them. People are fickle. The same crowd that tried to shut Bartimaeus up said, "Come on, the master calls you." Now, I find this next interesting. Listen to it. It was obvious, and it said that he threw his robe. Beggars of those times wore beggars' robes. And he sat, and the blindness of their time was a milky substance over the eye so that their eyes were whitish looking. Now they lead Bartimaeus up to Jesus, and Jesus makes this statement, looking at a man who just threw his beggar's robe aside, looking at a man who was calling on him for mercy, looking at a man whose white substance was over his eyes, and he asks this question, "What do you want me to do?" I would think it would be obvious what he wanted. But at that point, listen to me. Listen to me closely. At that point, Jesus had opened all heaven's doors. And whatever Bartimaeus said, it was going to be. Because Jesus, the Son of the living God, Emmanuel, God with us, all heaven stood behind what Jesus had to say. And he says, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? At that point, Bartimaeus could have said, make me the mayor of Jericho, and Jesus would have done it. Oh, you say, Rick, that's silly. Jesus opened the door. All heaven's power, all heaven's promise stood behind what Jesus said. What do you want me to do? Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Immediately, the Bible says, not 6 months, not even 6 minutes later, but he immediately, Bartimaeus saw. Can I share my miracle? I am blessed beyond words. I shared this quickly as I go with Allison this morning, and I want to share it with the rest of you. I should not be here this morning. I am blessed beyond measure. I just passed my 74th birthday. Why is that so special? Let me share it with you. I was 16 in high school, very active in sports, especially track. And while I was running one day, I blacked completely out. Knowing something, of course, was wrong, they took me to the nurse's station, and she said, Rick, this is beyond what I can do. You need to see your family doctor. And so we made an appointment for the family doctor, and I went to him. And with his examination, these were his words. Rick, without open heart surgery, you'll never see the end of your 17th birthday. You can imagine how that made me feel. But I had a wonderful pastor who believed in miracles. Just being saved, just being converted, I was going to an Assembly of God church in Gary, Indiana, and my pastor, I went to him and said, Pastor Strader, I don't want to lay under a knife. I just don't want to go through the surgery. And I never forget his words. He said, Rick, the same Jesus that saved you is the same Jesus that can heal you. And with that, he prayed. And I've often said, Dave, I wish he prayed a simple prayer. Lord God of heaven, heal him. I've often said, Dave, I wish a voice would have rolled into that congregation and I heard it say, you're healed. But it didn't. No feeling. No voice. No miraculous happening. Just simple faith. And about Thursday of that following week, I had one more examination before my surgery. And I never did forget it. I went back to Richard Barton was my doctor's name, and I went back to him, and he walked in, and he, of course, began to examine me, and I never forget. He was a very quiet man, and he stepped back, and he kind of looked at me, and he pulled the stethoscope out of his ears, and he said, I'll be right back. And he left me sitting there on that table. Now he goes out, and he comes back with my folder. My file. And he said, Rick, I want you to get down and do some push-ups. My daddy always taught me when somebody starts acting weird, never take your eye off of them. I watched my doctor. So I got down and I started doing some push-ups to get my heart going. He said, now get back up here on the table. And he examined me again, and now he backs up again, and he took the stethoscope out, and he said, I'll be right back. And I thought, this is worse than I thought. Now he comes in with the nurse. And he said, Rick, I want you to do some deep knee bends. Get off the table, do some deep knee bends. So I started doing the deep knee bends. He said, now get back up on the table. And he examined me again. And then he says this, I'll be right back. And I thought, what is this man doing? Finally, he'd come back. And I never forget him. You ask me why I'm emotional. My God still lives. He looked me in the eye and said, I can't explain. Now, y'all ain't ready to shout, but I am. He said, I can't explain it. But somewhere between last week and today, your heart has been made perfectly whole. And with that, he canceled the operation. Here I stand this morning, not with the hope of past the end of my 17th birthday, never having the operation. And I'm 74 years old. To God, somebody say amen to that, please. Amen. To God be the glory. Do I believe in miracles? Absolutely, unequivocally, without any doubt. God is a God of miracles. I didn't fill this in, but let me do it right now. I have two uncles. By the way, I'm explaining where the affliction came from. I have two uncles on my father's side that had the same heart condition. One died at 13 years of age, and the other died at 14 years of age. I never saw them. And they never slept in the bed their whole 13, 14 years. They slept sitting up at the kitchen table on a pillow, because in those days, the doctor told them if they laid down, they would drown in their own blood. This was the condition. Hereditary, I suppose. I don't know all the medical terms, but hereditary, this was the condition that I had. And I should have been, I suppose, fortunate to have reached my 16th birthday. But I'm 74. Is God a God of miracles? Absolutely. I had a man tell me one time, he said, I don't know if I believe in all those miracles. I said, you will when you need one. I heard some requests this morning. Let me just share real quickly. Not only has God done this in my life, but I've been privileged through 55 years of ministry to see people. My ministry was, of course, travel. And I conducted services in other churches, evangelistic ministry. And I want to recall real quickly, this was in about the 90s. For some reason, God blessed in a special way down in Wilsonville, Illinois. I was visiting down there, and they had heard about what God was doing in that church. And they flew a woman in from Iowa who was dying of cancer. She came in, obviously in her last stages, and a church was full because God was moving in a wonderful way, touching people's lives, healing people's bodies. And this woman came in and she wore a turban, perhaps it was from the chemotherapy, and her skin color was grayish. And it was very warm. I think it was sometime in August. And she wore a coat. She said she was so cold because the cancer was destroying everything in her body. They flew her in from Iowa to that church in Wilsonville, Illinois. She said, without a miracle, I'm not going to be here next year. I'm glad I've got your attention. And I said to her basically the same thing my pastor said to me. Dear heart, God is a God of miracles. And I prayed. That woman stood right there and began to take that coat off. The warmth. I wish somebody would say amen. Come on, this is true. I'm standing there watching this. She took her coat off, the warmth came back into her body, and the grayishness disappeared from her face. And his rose-colored cheeks returned. And the last report I heard when she went back to Iowa was she was alive and well and doing good. Somebody praise the Lord with me. God is a God of miracles. God is a God of miracles. Do you remember the story about that woman that came behind the Lord? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. How many know the story? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. And somehow she got through that crowd. Big crowds always follow Jesus doing these miracles. Somehow she got through that crowd and she touched the border of his garment. And immediately she was healed. Now, I'm about to get happy up here. Y'all sit there looking at me. I wondered why the border? Why couldn't she have touched his arm or the shoulder? And the Lord began to show me something. The sleeves and the borders of the robes were called wings. And in Malachi, I'm about to get happy. And in Malachi, it says the Son of God will arise with healing in his wings. In his wings. It was prophetic that she should get through and touch the border, the wings, and be made whole. The minute she touched, she received her miracle. Now let me try to help you in receiving yours. Do you say, am I a candidate? Am I a candidate for a miracle, Rick? Is a bullfrog waterproof? Yes, you are. All that it takes is to not be denied. I can guarantee you this. The minute you hear this message, the enemy is going to try every way he can to get you to doubt it. He'll even bring people around you. Well, I know, I've heard about it before. Yeah, but you know what? I don't want those kind. Do you know there are some people I don't even want them to pray for me? If I'm sick, some people pray, oh, Lord, get them ready for the, let them find a good undertaker. You better get away from me. I don't want people praying me. When I'm sick, I don't want people praying for me and getting me ready to go to the undertaker. I want people that know how to pray. Come on, somebody say amen. Just humor me. I want people that know how to pray, that know how to touch God, that know how to have faith and pray with me and say, God, send a miracle. Well, Rick, you don't have to raise your voice. God ain't deaf. No, and he ain't nervous either. I'm excited about what God is doing in my life. I'm excited about the fact that God has performed miracles in my life. I'm excited about the fact that I'm saved today. I'm excited about the fact that God is blessing my life from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. I am blessed. So, Rick, that's all well and good. Do you think God can do a miracle for me? Yes, I do. Haven't things changed? Well, let me give you a scripture. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. I can stand on that. Somebody say amen. I can stand on that. Here's what I have to do, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. Sometimes when I get excited, it's hard for me to wrap it up, but I will. I don't want you to say, Rick, how dare you say something like that? But it's what it has to be. Don't get mad at me now. Please, I get enough people mad at me all week long. I don't need anybody. Either God has spoken the truth in this His word, or this is the biggest lie that was ever written. That's what you have to determine. Is what God said the truth? Understand, this is not just a book. This is God breathed on this. Men were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit wrote this book called the Bible, not man. So I have to conclude, is this the truth? Is this book called the Bible the truth? Or is it just a good book that we read to maybe make us feel good? I choose to believe this book called the Bible from cover to cover. And bless God, I like an old Negro preacher said, bless God, I's even believe the cover. I have shared this message over the last 55 years. And I have been blessed to see people touched, healed, and going on with God. I'm going to praise God from now to the day He takes me home. And that's going to be a while yet. Oh, yeah. Why is it going to be a while? Because I have His promise. What is that? With long life, the Bible says, will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation? Long life. Well, don't you believe? Shut up. Long life. Look at me and say long life.
Long life.
And health. No, no, is it, people say, isn't it the will of God for people, some people to be sick? No. It isn't. Because the Bible said, not Rick, not you, the Bible says, beloved, I would that you prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. And I didn't get one amen from the crowd? Let's try this. Everybody say,
amen.
try this again.
Amen.
That's great. Wonderful. Now you're making me feel at home. Every promise, the chorus says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. This book, God's Word, I can stand on when I can't depend on anything or anybody else. I have His promise. That's what, do you know it was the religious crowd? It wasn't the sinners, it wasn't the drunkards, it wasn't the prostitutes and that tried to shut Bartimaeus up. It was the religious crowd. Amen. Bartimaeus, shut up. You're making a fool of yourself, man. Sit down. And Jesus, I've got this mental picture of Jesus stopping. He just passed Bartimaeus. He knew he was there. Why did he keep on going? Because he wanted Bartimaeus to begin to exercise his faith that Jesus who was who he was. Finally, after he just continued to cry out, the Bible says Jesus stood still. Whew. That makes cold chills run down my spine. Jesus stood still. And he said, bring him to me. And the same crowd that tried to shut him up led him to the Master. Is he here this morning? Oh, yes. A scripture. I will never leave you. Woo. I will never forsake you. He is as close as the breath in your body. Aren't you glad you can call on him anytime? Don't have to be at church just to call on him. Come on, somebody. I call him driving down the street. I can call on him. I've called on him even when I was at work. And in some of the circumstances, we had better call on him. But walking in the marketplace, walking with Walmart. And how dare they look at me while I walk, and sometimes I'm praying. They're walking and talking on these cell phones with things in their ears. Look like they're talking to themselves. But I'm glad. Somebody say amen to this. I'm glad that he's still the same. He's still doing miracles. And in closing, I want you to stand with me. Those of you that can, I'm going to pray for miracles to be done right this morning. If you don't need a miracle, then you believe with those that do. But I want everybody praying, please. In fact, here's what I want you to do. May I pray for you? May I pray for you? I'm open. I want you to stretch your hand toward her. Stretch your hand, have faith right now. I'm going to believe that Lord is going to give me that. I don't believe you were here by accident this morning. I do not believe that. I believe you're here by divine appointment. Father in heaven, you know the need. I ask you to touch her back right now and let her receive a good report and give you all praise. And all the glory, Father, for it is in the name of Jesus that we ask it and we believe it. And all of God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Someone over here.
someone over here should be going to the doctor.
Okay. We have a friend that's going to be having knee surgery.
You do?
That's a friend of ours.
All right, join him. Father, for this friend that has a knee condition, would it not be wonderful, Lord, for you to do such a miracle that knee would not even have to be operated on? But I ask you, Lord, that you touch that knee right now. In Jesus' name, we ask you to be healed. And even if the doctors do have to, let them be amazed at how well the knee is. But we ask it in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
How many got something from the message this morning? Don't leave it here. Don't leave it here. Take it with you. Take it with you. Take Mark, the 10th chapter, verses, I believe, 49 through 56. Take it home. Reread it. Go over it and over it. Ask God for the faith. Amen.